popular, not everybody wants. Mm. Every little excuse will be made to allow it to pass. Right, that's the way it works. So
I started recording again, just so you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking about if I was state rep, how would I respond to the question? I wouldn't complain about, the question's being asked of me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's also a great response, though, Steve, as well. So simply because the soldiers died then. This is today. The year is 2024, not 1864.
Yeah.
No, that's a nice way to summarize it.
Well, it's also funny when he's saying that people from New Hampshire died in a past thing. Does that mean, I mean, what we have to get to, was that proper for them to shoot people from the South? I mean, right? We have to talk about that kind of stuff, right?
I would suggest that, you know, if you're going to hinge your choice on whether people died in a war over 100 years ago, that presents a problem, because a war over 100 years ago has no bearing on what's happening today in 2024.
I think we all see that, but apparently this chairman doesn't see it that way.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're just saying that. I mean, you know, some people who live in New Hampshire might be from the Confederacy. Some of us, our relatives weren't even in the United States at the time that this happened. I mean, you could be from England and be saying that my guys were fighting on the other side of the Revolutionary War. Mm. His two things were the Pledge of Allegiance and blood on the flags.
Right. Yeah.
And that's how he framed the discussion. You know, I missed that part until I went and saw the recording, but that's how he wanted to frame the discussion. Well, we can let these guys say a few things, but everybody needs to remember we've said the Pledge of Allegiance and our boys died and there's blood on those flags.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have trooped up people that say, I disagree with them going down and killing Southerners to reunite this thing. I think that I would have been wrong to join up or allow myself to be drafted, whatever was happening, and gone down there and killed some people. Mm-hmm. I don't think preserving this union, which I'm sure is what he's thinking, is worth killing people.
When people cling to the pledge and things like that, it's just, to me, an act of fear. It's an act of fear because they're venturing into unknown territory and, you know, having something familiar like a Pledge of Allegiance or a Constitution or whatever, these state rituals that we've embraced for centuries or whatever, they're familiar. And secession or breaking away from the United States is unfamiliar territory. So I think it's important to persuade them to embrace the unfamiliar, to embrace the unknown, that it's okay to step into the unknown because we're going to figure things out. We're perfectly capable of figuring things out as human beings.
I think the biggest hurdle is, like, so we're pitching secession on practical reasons. Specifically this year, we're making it about the national debt, the current debt, the GDP ratio, 122.29% of the current national debt is $34 trillion. And we want to secede at 40 trillion. So, you know, these are all practical quality of life reasons to want to do that. But missing from that is also the cultural identity, which is at the end of the day what the country is. It's what makes first the culture exists, then institutions come from there. The American government couldn't have came to be in the war for independence had there not already been a more distinct cultural identity separate from Great Britain already on the land. So what it's going to, once people feel comfortable being like, yeah, we're New Hampshire, you know, we probably would need like a better state flag to help illustrate that cultural identity as Granite Staters, as New Hampshireites, you know, New England has its own regional flag, but New Hampshire, you know, it has the New Hampshire state flag is the traditional, you know, slap a seal on a banner. You know, that's a very traditional
but,
American
but there's,
state
but
flag.
There's
not look attractive.
There's some places that have a flag like that. I don't think that'll be an impediment to us being a country.
It's not, but having national symbols that convey a national identity.
Well, I was just looking up. Greenland flag. It's a couple of shapes of red and white.
Yeah, no, it's a simple design, and it looks like a flag. I know this year, Representative Tim McGow has submitted legislation to adjust the New Hampshire state flag by adding the words "Live Free or Die" to it, and I like it. I mean, I would have liked to do a whole change up of things. I think I've submitted in the Independence chat a tricolor design that turns out to be the same thing as a town in France, so that's no good. And then, what else have I submitted? Have I thought about using the coat of arms of the family of the first president of New Hampshire? I happen to like that idea. And another idea that I have is taking the elements that were used in the first state seal. You have the arrows, the bundle of arrows in the center. You have the tree on one side and then the fish on the other. You know, separate them, blow it up, put on a, make that the state flag, the elements in the first seal. I think those two ideas could be great state flags. But if all we have to do is put "Live Free or Die" on the state flag, that'll still make our flag pop. It'll make it distinct for sure. But a good, people need to have, it's just the way people work. I know it might not seem rational, but we are in $34 trillion in debt. New Hampshire's portion of that is 0.43, $172 billion, right? That's as worst as it could get, is if we have peaceful secession and the only way we have it is to take that portion, that's the, but having a state flag that conveys a cultural identity is important for developing a nation.
When the 13 colonies left, did anybody have to change any of their flags? Was that a part of the process?
Well, we had the Stars and Stripes. We had the Betsy Ross flag.
We're talking about what they already had, and I don't know if that matters that much.
I don't know if it matters either, but I feel like it's. I feel like the political situation is actually scary enough where, we shouldn't have to convince other grandstanders to change the flag. But I know that, many people who still feel a sense of patriotism towards, the red, white, and blue, who are also incredibly dissatisfied with it. It's like, well, do we have another banner to fly behind? What's our flag now? Like, what does it mean to be a grandstander? What does it mean to be New Hampshire?
I think that's all going to come out as we continue to discuss independence is what's going to define us as a people. Are we going to be defined by, we're Americans? No, we're going to be defined as we're being New Hampshire. Maybe we'll change our country name. Maybe things like that will change, and that's okay. It's okay to embrace change.
Yeah. But again, and that's why nullification is just so important, is that we're already the freest state in the country. We got the Free State Project here. We're number one freest, number one, number two safest. And then upon that performance that we do right by our citizens, however active any of us are in politics, it's we feel bold to challenge the federal authority over claim to this land being a part of the other rest of the lands that the federal government claims. So, just this, what else is there going on? Nullifying the EPA, that's another bill. Nullifying the WHO and the CDC, that's another bill, right? So we're standing on we have moral standing. Hey, look at the quality of life we share. We are right and just to challenge this group in DC. We have nearly as many representatives in our House legislature as we do in Washington, DC.
Another question for you, Matt. What's the name of that secession expert from some other state that you're looking to bring in on Wednesday?
I'll share offline. Just want to
responsible. Oh, okay.
That's all. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you tell us that he's done a bunch of books, we can, some of us can figure it out.
that's right, and maybe then we can use our telepathy to infer without having.
All right, just words. Let me know afterward or whatever. Okay.
The other thing I was thinking about is if it went down the lines that Steve Vallee is going for with the Club 75, there'd be such a sequence of things that stuff like flags and stuff would be way, way, way at the end of all that sort of thing. You know, if you're asking for the feds to let us go, you know, and go that way. I don't know if... you know, we don't, it's hard to tell what kind of path it's going to take or that sort of stuff.
It's probably going to end up being like a giant porcupine.
Giant porcupine? No way. Nobody calls themselves porcupines. Like, you're the meaning of porcupine doesn't mean you're from New Hampshire. Right? But I'd like some, so, you know, something, you could have something else. You could have something that says live free or die, you know, whatever. Hmm. Did you guys discuss you know, we were talking about the chairman of that committee kind of framing the discussion. He also did the thing of, you know, right from the beginning was saying we have a big ambitious schedule and he made everybody's testimony very short and didn't want to hear any repeats. What did you guys think about that kind of stuff?
I got my 3 minutes.
I did my testimony and I found that as more people testified, I was like chopping up my testimony so I didn't repeat, because it doesn't make sense to hear repeated. Having one more person say something that's already been said doesn't, I don't think that adds value.
Right.
Yeah. Like.
Well, one of the things I was surprised at, we were talking about this yesterday amongst some of us, that in the past, that's not, I don't quite understand, you know, I could see how a committee would say, we want testimony, we don't want repeat testimony and stuff like that. But in my other limited experiences doing this, it has not been a mention before. People can come up there and tell their story, and even if half of it is the same as the person before them, it's been allowed. I kind of get the feeling that if there was 20 guys that would have been talking about the USS Liberty, they wouldn't have been saying, okay, we already heard that part. I thought it was directly related to that they don't support it.
I would say he remembered from 2 years ago that it was 3 hours and he really didn't want. So if anyone was here 2 years ago, would you say there was a lot of repetition 2 years ago?
I've watched that entire video, and most likely so. I mean, I think it was a cool hearing that we had that many people show up. Right. What's cool about that hearing is that everyone's testimony then, of course, is part of the public record, and it still stands. What everyone said then is just as, you know, it still rings true. So many, right. I bet many people who testified then felt like they said their piece and didn't need to say it again because they got what they had to say out. We have people who represent organizations relating to it who I'll have to kind of do the legwork to move it forward. Mm-hmm. You know, they might have, it's more than just a person's opinion when you're on the foundation, when you're with the club, when you're with the PAC, when you're with the LLC.
Do you think there aren't any normal committee hearings that go long? Is 3 hours really crazy? Is that unheard of? What do they let things go long? Or
I have a feeling 3 hours is on the long side, but I could be wrong.
Because that, like what happened last time, they just have to bump things off onto another day and all kinds of stuff like that. Also, to me, just having it all shrunk down like that made me think, okay, this is not the forum for us to get our ideas across, because they might keep limiting it more and more. He might say, if we did something next year, he might say, I heard that last year. I don't know.
Well, speaking of next year, I'm really intrigued of doing it, submitting it during a year where there isn't an election.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be pretty different because last time it came around, there was at least the Senate elections.
But this year, hold on. Could... So we did it in 2022. And then we did it, and then there were elections. And then we did it in 2024. Can we?
By elections, you mean state elections?
Next year, we have a new House next year, right? Right, because we have elections this fall.
I guess, yeah.
Could we run it again in 2025?
Doesn't it have to be in an even year?
You just can't do it 2 years in the same
cycle. Okay.
You can't. Yeah, I think
so. So what that means is we couldn't run the same bill. It would have to be somehow a new bill that we run.
Yeah, I think we could do it every year from now on if it was a different kind of bill. Like this year, we had the CACR and then the study committee. Well, if we were to, if those would have been back, 1 year and the other year, those are two totally different kinds of things.
That's correct. I wonder.
Just like if we, if Steve got somebody to put in Club 75's, put that into law.
Oh yeah, the actual proposal I did about we're just declaring independence. We're not.
Yeah, or something that's encouraging a certain kind of person to move here. You know, you could just like somebody was telling it. You know, we can make a law that makes a referendum. I mean, there's no limit to the things, and all you need is some variety. So yeah, I would think, Matt, that we could do something next year, and like you're saying, it could be very similar to the CACR from this year. Do you guys think that the constitutional amendment's the best thing, or something else?
It's what I understand. it's what makes sense to me.
Constitutional amendments are pretty good, in my opinion. But then again, if you force things by legislation, that becomes a problem for the populace.
I just think we have a lot easier situation and strategy than what the Texas guys have to worry about.
Yeah.
They have to first get a bunch of petition with signatures in order to get it on the ballot. All we have to do is get one representative who wants to sponsor a bill, brings it to the House floor. And then if there's enough reps who want it, like that's how it's going to work. People will want it when it's time.
Texas thing, that's just a resolution on the Republican ballot. Half the people won't even see it. And it's not binding to the government or anything like that. Whereas if we had one of ours pass through every step, it'd be binding. Right? There's many steps, but it's not just a referendum. It's not just talking about it.
Yeah. But one thing that's not going to happen next year is scope creep, which is what happened to me. There was trying to see if we can... Last year, 2023, can we, help out people in local elections? Can we help out with getting the UN out of New Hampshire? Can I join the local zoning board? What else can I learn about the help? Way too much. But when the bill was submitted, everything had that clarity because there was no more wondering of when we were going to submit this bill. It was going to be like, I didn't have to worry about strategizing for the right moment to submit it. We're just going to do it. And so, once that decision was made, like I was iffy about it last summer. I was like, should we do it this year? On July, 2 weeks before July 4th, my vice chair and I were like, yeah, let's not do it this year. Let's wait till 25. 2 weeks later, we're like, yeah, let's do it. Well, I was like, let's do it. So two weeks after that, I'm at Freedom Fest in DC and I'm chatting with everybody. We're like, we should probably wait. And it was like that all summer until we decided to submit it.
So right now is the PAC's, the New Hampshire Independent PAC, is their focus to just shepherd these two bills along? Or are you caring about more than two bills?
So So as far as what's well, we still got to get through this cycle. Like,
well, that's what I'm talking about. This, I'm talking about this cycle. Over the next month.
Like, oh, as far as, I mean, if you look on our PAC's legislation page, I've created a list of all bills that have been submitted that are related to defining the state as separate from the federal government.
And you're trying to help with all of those right now?
Well, I mean, there's only so much that I can do to help. I mean, I can submit remote testimony for that. I can remind people that there's hearings for these, there's executive sessions for these. You know, because these are bills that we want to bring attention to, that everyone should, you know, that we want everyone to vote for. So, like, the big things, you know, we have the, you know, it's the New Hampshire Independence PAC. So the biggest things, of course, are the independence bills. Everything else that's listed is something to do with either nullification or state sovereignty, one or the other. You know, defining New Hampshire as a state, you know, that nullifies the EPA, that investigates incidents that the government, the federal government, doesn't want to do and kicks the can down the road for. Getting rid of the WHO and the CDC. What was another bill?
I'm seeing about 25 bills on here. Endorse 2024 legislation. I'm looking at the website.
Yeah, these are you know, all pieces of legislation that let's say, like, here's HB 1338 relative to New Hampshire's enforcement of the Selective Service Act. That's a nullification bill. Criminalizing interference with the whistleblower. That's another nullification bill.
Sorry to bother interrupt you.
Okay. Like, do you think that I'm expanding too much, Russell?
I'm just asking what you're doing. So the 1338, I'm on your website, that Tom Mannion is the one that was the prime sponsor.
Yeah.
And he was one of the reps in the committee we were at.
Yes.
Was he the young guy sitting to the right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So you're supporting one of his bills. Okay.
Yeah. So our PAC, you know, we support, it's a nullification bill. It's, we're telling the federal government, no, we want to bring attention to that bill. We're going to do it. Even if, like, we want to support this bill, even if the reps who are sponsored it don't necessarily support independence.
Yeah, so you'll be pushing each of these about 15 bills that I'm looking
this
at
is,
for 2024.
Or, you know, as much as I, you know, can. We've got them on the website. I can tweet about it. I can post about it. You know, I can share in the group chats about it. You know.
Yeah, these are just more than I can keep track of. But if that's what you guys are doing, yeah.
Well, at the beginning of when all the LSRs were submitted, I just read through them all, and now we got a list of it. Bam, we got a list of all the bangers that people can go to as a reference of, hey, what are the hardest hitting bills against the federal government this year? And they can go to our legislative page and see it all in one spot.
Yes, yeah, so I'm seeing it. I'm reading it at NHIPAC, NHIPAC.org/legislation. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and so you're going to be pushing that.
Like, here's another cool bill this year. Relative to changing to Atlantic Standard Time. That's Josh O'Kella's bill.
Oh man, I have to fight it. I have to fight it, my friend.
Because you want New Hampshire free time, right?
New Hampshire free time, Eastern Standard Time all year long, baby.
I don't want Eastern Standard Time. I want Atlantic Standard Time.
I mean, the reason I think that's a cool bill for us to support is because it's getting into time. like New Hampshire's different. We have a different culture. Hell, it's even a different time here, you know?
Okay, Riley, I'm going to need you to tell me what countries are currently in Atlantic Standard Time for me to support it.
Nova Scotia.
That's the only one? I'm going to need the full list.
Probably Canada and Greenland.
Yeah, Canada and Greenland.
What parts of Canada?
Nova Scotia.
Oh, brother. If there's Nova Scotia, there's got to be three more, and you don't even know the names of them. I reject this. So this is something you think is worth pushing, Matt? Atlantic Standard Time? So you're saying that it would make us different?
I mean, if we're looking to secede.
Oh, and it would make us, well, the one thing is it would make us different than any other state in the United States. That's
correct. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. So we would be joining like three or four provinces.
Yeah. And yeah, if you think it takes away from the overall theme of the pack, which is independence, I can take it off the site. If you think so.
Well, you guys don't have to listen to me. It's just, you're just going against stuff that I think, you know, like this Atlantic Standard. Now, would you change now all those other Canadian provinces do daylight savings times, don't they?
I guess maybe they do.
Yeah. Let me look it up here. So there's New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island are in it. Some portions of Quebec. And then see, Newfoundland and Labrador have Newfoundland Standard Time. So if we were to do it like that, we need New Hampshire Standard Time or New Hampshire Free Time.
All right. So I just noticed something that's worth pointing out here.
Okay.
One of the committee members is Brandon Finney. Does anybody know Brandon Finney personally?
No.
Okay. What's interesting about him is that in 2017, he switched his party affiliation to Libertarian.
Okay.
So he is, I think he is the most recent House rep who has been officially a Libertarian, although he wasn't elected that way.
Interesting.
How was he elected?
He was elected as a Republican, and then he switched parties. Okay. But so I wonder, can we at least count on his vote?
I don't know.
I would hope so.
But... And then, when did he get elected?
It's a sort of a sad story. He was elected as a Republican in 2016. He switched his party in 2017, and then he lost the election in whatever 2020 or something. And then he was elected again in 2022. But for that, he was back to being a Republican.
Yeah. Yeah, people don't want to vote for a third party. It's hard
to get on the ballot report and stuff like that, right?
I'd be really curious.
Was he around to vote back in 2022? Was he not in at that time?
Oh, that good question. Oh, he was elected.
Because he doesn't seem like he's one of the guys that the 13.
No, he was not around. He was elected in 2022. When was the 2022 bill?
Well, it'd be
bill?
November 2022. He'd get back.
Yeah. That's so he was not around for the debate about CICR 32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe he'd be part of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I've thoroughly looked at the map about Atlantic Standard Time. I'm sticking with my guns. I'm going New Hampshire Free Time, which also happens to be Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, Eastern doesn't mean, you know, United States. I mean, we're connected to Canada. We're connected to Cuba. Part of Guatemala, the Bahamas. There's a lot of countries that are in Eastern time.
If you stay on Eastern Standard Time, though, you're going to have sunset in the summertime around 7:30 at night.
No, not at all.
Yes, you will.
No, it'd be even later than that.
No, it wouldn't be.
And that would be a bad thing?
That would actually be a bad thing because people like to be out later during the summer.
Eastern Standard Time just puts us more on sun time.
No, we're on Eastern Standard Time right now.
Yeah.
If we do not move the clocks forward at all, you're going to have sunset at 7:30.
So you're a person that likes daylight savings time?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I reject you.
And you would have sunrise at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's about in the summertime, it comes up at about 4 and goes down at 8.
That's currently if we do daylight savings time or daylight shifting time.
But nothing's making you go to bed and or go to stop doing having fun in the evenings while the sun's still up.
I'm just saying that a lot of people like to go out late on summer, during the summer. And so having the clocks on Atlantic Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time would be much better because people like to be out later.
Well, why can't you just be out later? I don't get it.
Because people like to go back inside when the sun's down for some reason. They like to be inside.
Yeah.
It's just how humans are, dude.
I just don't get how the clock decides that. It doesn't seem like the people in Arizona suffer from not switching back and forth, or Hawaii. They seem like happy people.
I agree. I don't think the clock should be moving at all. I'm just not sure that Eastern Standard Time would be the best fit for New Hampshire.
So you'd want Atlantic and then Standard and never change.
Yeah, never change.
I don't know if that's what the legislation is trying to do.
Well, that's where I'd put it.
What was the other... So Josh is the sponsor of that one.
Yeah, anything that makes our state look different. It's like, hey.
Well, we're different if we're on Eastern Standard Time. We might be joining the Bahamas.
I haven't pushed the petition as much this year.
What petition?
The NH exit petitions.
Right now, I don't know if anybody's pushing that. For me, I don't know if that website and that petition is working, so I don't know if I'd want to push it.
No, it's working. It just hasn't a lot of people been signing it, that's all.
I don't know if where when you sign it where that goes.
Pretty sure Bonnie and Chris run it.
Okay, well if it's still running, yeah, we could do that.
Riley, you signed it, right?
I have not signed it now.
What?
I probably should.
You've signed it, right?
Now who are you talking to?
Steve.
Hmm?
You've signed that petition, right?
Which petition is this?
NH exit. I'm sharing in the chat right now.
Okay.
There it is.
Let's see if I
have. If you guys haven't signed it, sign it. We're at 2% of our goal. Let's go.
Oh. I don't know that I have. This doesn't look...
You can look at all the names that are on there and see who has.
Hmm.
Okay, the Cayman Islands and Jamaica are Eastern Standard Time year-round. All right, I'm with Jamaica. That's what I want. Cayman Islands and Jamaica. And the Cayman Islands, you know, we're going to be a banking center just like the Cayman Islands. So, you know, we want to be on the same time. And people can stay up late, Riley. I won't make them stop. Like people have trouble partying in the Cayman Islands or Jamaica.
Again, they're a different portion of the globe. So sunrise and sunset times might be different.
No, they're pretty much the same as us. But end of the summer, we get way more sun than Jamaica does. More sun. But in the winter, we get so much less sun than they do.
Yeah.
No, the Cayman Islands is way west. Jamaica, maybe. Anyway, I don't want to know if I want to debate this, but.
Yeah, to me, that kind of stuff on flags is not that important. I'm worried about whether the federal government kills us all. That's more of my concern.
Well, so considering we'll be banning chemtrails, and that's a good start.
Which one is that? I didn't see that.
There's a chemtrails bill going on right now.
It's on your list?
No, it's not, because I didn't see how it necessarily had anything to do with the federal government. But
oh, I think the federal government's the one that authorizes whether they're doing chemtrails or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought it was just way too specific. I was like,
I don't think if they pass a bill in New Hampshire about that, I don't think the federal government's going to stop. What happened with the EPA one?
Let's see where it is.
Has it? So there's also 1156 relative to public health, safety, and state sovereignty, which is that's kind of the one about us.
That's the EPA and the WHO.
Okay, yeah, that's
The CDC and the WHO.
Yeah, the CDC and the WHO. Yeah. Oh, 1294 is the EPA one.
Yeah.
HB1294. Where do you like to look up the status?
I'm on LegisCAD right now, and something tells me that that's not the right one. I should probably be on GenCourt Mobile.
Let's see here. It says on that LegisCAN that there was already a hearing. So we don't know what that one doesn't tell us anything more. Yeah, so some of our buddies are pushing that one. So that's a that one website says there was a hearing on 1/8.
Due out of committee on February 15th.
So it's still in there, huh? Well, you know, one thing we didn't, Steve, what was your overall impression of the testimonies?
Especially
for the second one, which is the one that you did.
Right. Yeah. Overall, for both of them, it was quieter and less contentious than I thought it would be. Because I had heard, I haven't actually seen the testimony from 2 years ago, but I had heard it was not just 3 hours, but very, I don't know, loud and boisterous. Yeah,
was full and the door was packed. Yeah.
Okay. Nothing like that happened this time. I mean, it was a relatively small number of people. I think everyone behaved civilly. At least that was my impression. And I felt like the committee, particularly the chair, was relatively welcoming. I mean, he seemed genuinely interested in having people come testify. Now, maybe that's all just an act. But anyway, reasonably happy with it.
That's what I got the feeling from, because he was also asking for us to send him more info even after that day.
Right, yeah.
You know, when he was asking for your website, while you guys were talking, I emailed it to him.
Okay.
So have you heard anything from him, or did you?
No, I haven't. But I submitted my testimony in the form of a PDF.
Yeah,
and that has all the links on it. So
yeah, and that is available. I was just pulling that down today.
Okay.
So that's very much in the record there. There's one from the first thing, that guy that was opposing us put in a PDF, and then yours is in the second one. Yeah.
Right. The one guy who testified against, Michael Granger.
Mm-hmm.
At least Honestly, what he was saying didn't make a whole lot of sense, but I think I get the impression he was testifying against. Anyway, so, but yeah, other than him, as far as I could tell, all the people actually testifying were in favor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very curious to hear what the committee does. And if they vote on Friday, and if it's available on YouTube, I will definitely check it out.
What did the rest of you guys think? I was kind of wishing it was a little bit more contentious and a little bit more hubbub.
Mm.
But it was very clinical and very calm in there.
Yeah.
I was kind of wishing they were realizing what we're talking about and how important it is. just filling the room changes that atmosphere.
Right.
But I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, with something like a legislation and legislative hearing like that, I didn't expect too much contention, so it seemed fairly normal to me. But then again, that was my first hearing on New Hampshire independence.
Yeah. Well, and think of how raucous it was when this came to the floor vote. The guy was constantly having to calm down the room. We weren't quite getting the House of Lords action, but it was getting close. It's also funny with some of these committees, half the committee isn't there. You know, they're not all there all the time either. So it's kind of.
I'm reading now, finally, Tim Horrigan's opposition to CACR 20. Interesting reading. I always want to hear what the other side is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. It makes more sense to understand what their side is saying so we can formulate our position better.
Yeah.
So on the blog post I will put out tonight on nhexit.org.
Oh, we'll sweet. Thanks, Russell.
We'll have all of those. We'll have all that online testimony in text in order of the people, what they did. So, but it won't be as nice as the website, but it will be another way to look at it. So I found some of it kind of comical.
Mm.
You know, just like how, you know, the main reason we shouldn't secede is because of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
one of them says, even though $34 trillion is a huge sum of money, but the debt is manageable.
Yeah, that was the Tim Horrigan thing. Boy, okay. Okay, so you got to know that's how he thinks.
Yeah, and then one of our people said the debt is out of control. Mm-hmm. I would like to find out in the history of the world if there's ever been a debt this big that's been manageable. Oh yeah, there's never been a debt this big in the history of the world. And even when you start doing it, debt to GDP, debt to per person, it's whenever people have owed this, whenever countries have owed this much money, they've defaulted on it. So I expect the United States government to default on their debt or make the money, make dollars worthless.
I think they're going to
what they should do, make the dollar worthless. They should more. Actually print out $34 trillion and then pay it.
That's that, what there some, there's yeah. people that there's the MMT people that say that that's what should happen. Have you heard about them inventing a $1 trillion platinum coin?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. These are
ideas that go around in the United States House of Representatives for finishing it. Like you're saying, you could just print that much.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve can just print that much and give it to the United States Treasury, and then they can pay it off. They've been talking about that.
I'm going to need to drop off soon, but interesting conversation. Good hearing from you guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So since this is kind of a debriefing from the testimony, and maybe Matt C. will want to be talking about these bills as they kind of chug along through the process, maybe we can do that each week. But otherwise, we could be kind of more topical in the future. And I want to do an interview with you, Steve, that we can record for my podcast, and then talk about your specific thing.
Excellent.
And see what we can do with that kind of stuff. But yeah, for a while, right, Matt, you're going to be kind of shepherding some of these things or telling us how it goes.
Yes.
Some of these nullification bills and things, and we'll find out what happens with this.
You know, I can also tell you some other things too offline as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me finish up my recording since it's 7, and then we'll see what I did get for good or for bad. Cool. And then, but I'm not kicking you guys off the Jitsi thing. So let me just stop my recording. Here we go. Okay.